Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And I'm Brian, and that is Luke.
Yeah.
And it's we are on a radio show.
We're doing it. We're doing it live.
Hello, my name is Brian Kelly. I believe you have a message for me.
Oh, man. It's Monday.
I'm totally Brian Kelly now. For sure. Lisa. Wow. We are station-wide, civic media-wide. We are on in four different markets now. Mm-hmm. My goodness, I don't know the rundown at all. Not even a little bit.
Oh, let's okay. I'm broadcasting here live in Madison from the Solidarity Realty Studios on WTPN 1580 AM. And that's Devil Radio 92.7 FM.
Yeah, over here, I'm in Waukesha. I'm at 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw.
Yeah, man, you're also listening to us in Wausau, Wisconsin, on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, that's 97.5 FM, WFHR, 1320 AM.
That's 1320, not 1230, 1320. In certain areas, you can listen to both of them at the same time.
It's true, they do overlap almost, Brian, so you can definitely hear our voices on all four of those signal groups, because there's eight signals total. And you can go to the Devil Radio app, where you can choose from all four of those signals and listen to whichever stream you prefer best.
It was really cool, because last Friday when I was driving around, I had been stressing out about all of the different high school football programs that we were putting up all at the same time. It turns out all of our crew were really awesome. Way to go, guys. And I got to, because in my car, I can use the app on my touchscreen in my car, right? And I could switch between different stations. I could get a couple different football games across the state. Just by a touch of a button. It was pretty awesome.
All on one app.
Check out that Devil Radio. All on one app. And we're going to be adding more. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's the number to call in on and text. We have several things to get through. Possibly a... How did you term this? You called it a... What were you getting into this as...
What are we talking about? Frankenstein's monster or the game?
No, this whole.
It's a smorgasbord. It's a smorgasbord of weekend headlines, because there's so many, Brian. There's so many. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure of where we want to go. But I
think. A veritable smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Is that the rat from.
Yes, that's Templeton.
That's Templeton from...
That's Templeton from Charlotte's Web.
Okay.
I've been wanting to pull... It was like...
Brian got so excited when I said smorgasbord earlier, and I had no idea why.
Yeah, in the pre-show, in our pre-game interview, we had a... there's a smorgasbord of events and smorgasbord of headlines. None of them are really, you know, you got to go there, but there's a smorgasbord, you know? And as soon as that happened, I'm like, I finally get to use this clip more than once.
There you go, Brian. Well, I'm glad that I could help you out with that one.
That's my time, folks. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
No, because on the main course of this delicious smorgasbord is a big, giant, fat sausage known as Michael Gableman.
Yep.
And that guy.
We know where we're going to start. There's a lot of stories that we're going to hope to get into, but we know where we're going to start, because Michael Gableman is pretty much the story that just doesn't end.
We're
just getting more and more information. His legal battles are apparently not ending, according to a judge that's not allowed to practice.
It's never over.
And represents the Office of Special Counsel anymore. But I think the important place to start, Brian, is Michael Gableman, he's already back out on his feet. He's got another job.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he's gone? He's not gone. That's the whole point. He's never gone.
It's true. It's true. He's never gone. And it's very coincidental of where he landed, Brian, for this new job. Because if you recall from the charade that he was putting on for the last 14 months, he was previously, over that period, sharing office space with a right-wing organization that was also trying to undermine and overturn the 2020 election while he was, quote, reviewing the 2020 election.
Good.
So
I'd say they'd share notes, but there were no notes taken, clearly.
No. No, there were no records taken, and all the judges that have ruled on the open records lawsuits that have been before them have said there's no evidence that any work was done and that there's no evidence of widespread fraud Michael Gableman's team.
Yeah, let alone the fraud. There was no
just
evidence
no work
of,
done.
There's not no evidence of anything, just no evidence.
Just there's nothing there to show for. Wisconsin taxpayers picked up more than $1.2 million of the bills so far.
Dude got paid $11,000 a month for over a year. Could you, like, I would be fired after maybe, like, at least I could make it a month. I could make it a month.
You think you get two paychecks? You think you can get two paychecks without doing any work around here?
Around here? Oh, no. If I stop for a day or two, the whole world, and like I went through one full 24-hour period this weekend of no text or calls, and I actually started looking.
I got concerned because you started texting me, and I was like, this, and Brian's like, oh, I reset my phone. So those are old texts that are coming in.
Yeah. Somehow my, like, because you know you have, like, unsent texts, and then they just kind of freeze somewhere. Well, sometimes when you reset your phone, those old texts get sent, and I sent a bunch of old work texts to Luke, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no idea.
And it was the middle of Sunday afternoon, and I was like, you better not be working now.
Which sucks because it broke my 24-hour streak of not getting texts from work. But
yeah,
anyway,
it would have been longer.
Yeah,
but for that phone reset.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, reset your phone. That's the moral of this story. But someone who didn't really use his phone that much to actually investigate anything, Michael Gableman, if he, I just don't know how, like, there's a whole bunch of blue-collar people who, like, have trucks and, like, have calluses on their hands and, like, bust their back every, like, literally sack, like, you know, people talk about, you know, prostitution's illegal or whatever because you're selling your body. Those people who work construction and, like, throw their bodies into their work, they actually are literally selling their body for money. These people are looking at Michael Gableman going, yeah, let's go after the stupid liberals. And I'm like, how are you excited about this guy doing that?
Anybody cheering on Michael Gableman at this point, or the
$11,000 to do nothing?
They just don't know what he's done in the last 14 months. They just have, if they're cheering him on, I have to believe that they just they in their minds think that he's some kind of, I don't know, Inspector Gadget or Sherlock Holmes that's just really turning over every stone and hasn't paid attention to any of the headlines describing the buffoonery that is Michael Gableman. And so the outlet that just wasn't paying attention to all of those legal mishaps that Gableman's been portraying on behalf of taxpayer dollars here in the state of Wisconsin for the last 14 months is the Thomas More Society. Because this is the headline over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Molly Beck. After being fired by Robin Voss over election review, Michael Gableman now lists conservative law firm as employer. So Michael Gableman, Brian, over the weekend, he was at a symposium or some kind of event like that held by no other than Mike Lindell, the MyPillow executive.
Oh, my goodness.
And he got introduced
Mike Lindell on the stage. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy? Are you talking about Mike Lindell, the guy who last year had a symposium where he promised you? In fact, it was just last week, right here. We missed the week anniversary where he said this.
By the time the morning of August 13th, it'll be the talk of the world.
Yeah, this guy talking about how, like, there was an idiot on the side of the road who, by the way, also bagged Rampton, the side of the road on 94, who had this sign up about this cyber symposium, all this evidence that would be revealed. And again, hey, August 13th, it's going to come around. Oh, I don't have any evidence, never will, never did. And now a year later, Michael Gableman is still appearing and getting paid to go and say things. Oh, yeah, yeah, whatever, it's fine. And, you know, things like...
And I'm serious. If you have any moral character about you, we're all in this together.
Yeah, we're all in this together, buddy. It's
over. Nothing matters anymore.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Nothing matters anymore. No reality matters anymore because these folks are, again, okay, so let's say Michael Gableman just took all that time over a year, right? He made $132,000 for the year to do nothing. Let's say he
salary got cut in half about the last
whatever. He made about $100,000. My point is, if you're a really good author, you're not even going to get fronted that to write your next novel. You know what I mean? Like, if the guy just made up stuff, like started at scratch and said there were fairies, okay, and these fairies came about and used their magic wands and they made the good ballots for Trump disappear and turn into Biden ballots, and that's how magically it happened. Like, and if he came up with even half of a good story, he still was overpaid for doing that.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't even do it. He didn't even make up anything. He made it up,
and he shared stories among the staff, and there's still staffers that we don't know their name of or who was working for him in this charade, the ensemble that he put together to undermine Wisconsin's election system here in the state, and it's all made up. It's
and
all
there are
fake.
People who are running right now down ballot on literally all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's literally thrown into chaos for we don't get absentee ballot drop boxes anymore because of things like this. Michael Gableman saying that there was widespread fraud and them looking into that process and besmirching it, but not actually being able to prove any widespread fraud because it didn't happen in 2020. But there are still Republican efforts to crack down on voting in this state and make it harder for Wisconsinites to vote, to the point where the Department of Justice is now intervening on behalf of 4 disabled voters in the state because they want to make sure that they are guaranteed the right to return their absentee ballots.
I didn't want to get all generalization and everything like this, but this is what happens, you know. I hate to generalize and stuff, but you know, from what I understand, Gableman was descended from ogres, and the ogres just in general are not very nice folks and they seem to do bad things. So I've met nice ogres, but I guess the ones like Shrek, you know,
folks,
I'm sorry.
This is Dueling Tangents. Brian loves the analogies. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Oh, Brian, this is the part I didn't miss. The dancing. The dancing bear is back, folks. He is here and he is present.
That's a hell of a strain, too. That's a hell of a strain.
Yeah, I know you enjoyed it. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You can join the conversation at any time. Share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio in Madison, the Shaw in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, Wisconsin, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. If you're hearing those stations for the first time, go check out civicmedia.us. That is the website for the network that we are expanding across the Wisconsin's airwaves. And maybe
just a tiny little flower right now, but you can watch it grow into a giant...
Exactly.
Giant thing.
Thing. Most flowers just become bigger flowers. you can blossom.
I was trying to
come on.
Sunflower. No, and then I went to the giant stinking flower. Those are giant, but then you don't want to have that analogy, and then it smells like death. And then by that time I was already stumped.
And you were already three tangents deep, and you were like, I don't know what to do now. How do I get out of this cul-de-sac of tangents? Folks,
you go around and 844 around in circles till you find the exit.
There you go.
There it is, the phone number.
844-967-2789. The old reliable is like what we would like to refer to her as, the phone number. Just share that and get out of the tangent. Boom. But Brian, I mean, I'm a little bummed, man. And you're happy. You're wearing your Wrigleyville t-shirt.
Yeah.
Two out of three. I thought we could have swept, honestly.
I thought we could have swept.
You, more understandable, I guess, because you guys got two out of the three. But The Brewers are... It's weird because there's days where they just don't have any offense whatsoever, and it's just they're getting shut out. And then there's games where the bats are there, and then just defensively they're like, oh yeah, we're going to give up 8 runs to the 7 runs that we scored today. And it's just like, come
on. It's good to know what happens to other teams besides every year after the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah, it's been a rough go for you for the last six since that happened.
And I don't know what's worse, knowing that we're supposed to be bad and then actually being bad, or mm-hmm. when you have expectations and then everyone's like, yeah, I'm just going to swing at every outside fastball.
Yeah. See, you're from a sports fan kind of from all over. I'm born and raised here in Wisconsin, so I am true to all the hometown teams. And since the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010...
Yeah, Matthew Stafford has matched Aaron Rodgers for all...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But since that victory, until the Bucks won the whole thing last summer, there was a lot of really close... playoff runs, and you're like, oh, this team can do it. And then,
oh, yeah.
And then it's just
well,
those.
I feel that. Amy's a huge Packer fan.
Yeah. Machine. So you've been kind of tangential to all of those stories, but it's been tough. It was a tough decade for Wisconsin sports, but you know, the Bucks brought one home for us, and
I was happy about that. And I would be happy if the Brewers won. I wanted them to beat the Dodgers in the freaking NLCS. But anyway,
when you spend $100 million more than any other payroll, it's kind of hard to.
You kind of should do that, but then that makes you want to beat him more. Like, ha-ha,
true.
But then every time that happens, you're like, well, the players are probably going to get paid less now. Great. You know what I mean? Like, there's that aspect of it. I just read this book, Rethinking Fandom by Craig Calcaterra. Mm-hmm. I brought it up before, but definitely a really good read. You can read it in about 2 hours, maybe three. And it basically, the idea is that, you know, sports conglomerates, no matter who they are, they're going to... They never care about you. They never have to care about you. All they care about is you going into the door and all that stuff. We wear their laundry, and we mm-hmm. there's that Jerry Seinfeld bet. You're really just rooting for laundry because all the players change within 4 or 5 years, and at the end of the day, you're rooting for laundry. And what he recommends is finding players that you really like and rooting for those players, or finding a team. And like, he found a soccer team out in England that he just found and decided that these are my guys, and I'm rolling with them ride or die.
There you go.
Like, it just for no reason, because there's a need.
But isn't it at the end of that still just cheering for the laundry then? If they're your
yes,
they're your
but
club,
it's also like in a not because I was born there. Like, you don't have the emotional or irrational ties, because if they lose, you're like, whatever. I'm not from there.
Yeah. Okay. No, I've definitely in recent years gotten much better at not allowing the sports to be part of my personality, like the teams that I root for not being a part of my personality, to the point where I don't have a miserable day if my team loses.
I got to a point where, you know, the Cubs lost, or if it was a frustrating loss, I couldn't drop it for the day. And I'm like, this isn't good. I don't play for this team.
Your life is not changed one bit if the team wins or loses, unless you know, say you have like a gambling problem and you're losing
also
a ton of money on it.
That can be a
that I can understand a little bit more of the anger then. But if you're just a fan and your entire day gets ruined because your team loses, I think you got to rethink your priorities.
Yeah, definitely damper on the whole thing. Yeah. I guess
don't get me wrong though, playoff losses are a little different when you're like invested in the whole season and then it comes. But I'm talking about like every Sunday for football, or just like me this weekend cheering for the Brewers on Friday and Saturday night when it's like, okay, you guys can put this away. You're in the lead at the top of the 10th. You let it tie it back up. You're in the lead at the top of the 11th.
And the 11th.
Yeah. That was
great.
That was rough.
It was cool because of the way it happened. Like there was a mistake, but there was also like that awesome magical single, which is what he's supposed to do in the first place. Things like that. Those are the storyline. Like for me, this whole for the Cubs, I knew they weren't going to make the playoffs, but at least I'm enjoying, like, you know, Justin Steele. He's a pitcher who's coming into his own. The guy's had like 9 or 10 strikeouts the last 3 or 4 times he's been out. You know, that's a really cool storyline. Seeing a kid emerge, seeing Nick Madrigal finally be healthy mm-hmm. again and actually be the guy that we traded for in the first place. Those type of storylines, you know, you find.
I was mad that he was healthy for at least this series.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
But nice little palate cleanser we've got going here.
You can draw that analogy to from sports directly to politics, because that's how people look at their, you know, laundry they're rooting for. You know, the gerrymandering works because people root for their same laundry all the time. I always say it, but that's why it works, because people who always vote Republican generally do, and same thing with Democrats on the other side. It's, you know, maybe we should rethink how we, the fandom that we're going to throw towards our different respective parties.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to leave the sports portion of the Smorgasbord out for the rest of the day. We'll be right back after a quick break and get to the phone lines. 844-967-2789.
Well, I guess I have to fall in love with strangers.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Even Superman sometimes needs to go to a doctor's appointment every now and then. So
just like that?
Just like that. Evan locked him back up.
He was gone.
So, folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. Brian had to skedaddle for the rest of the hour, but I got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Always jump at the opportunity to have some time with Brian on the radio. So appreciate him taking the last half hour to be able to talk about the Gableman mess that's going on. Gable mess, hashtag, whatever you want to call it. Charade. Farce. It's a lot of different things. Definitely not the I word, though. But folks, you're listening to this program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM out of Columbus. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios. We're also broadcasting on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM, 1230 AM out of Wausau, and locally grown radio out of Wisconsin Rapids. That's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Share your tangent with me at any time for the remainder of the hour, 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Jack up in Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Well, what do you call a person that takes money from you to do something, that promises to do it, knows that you absolutely cannot do it, and doesn't even attempt to do it, and then walks away with your money?
Fraud?
What do you call that person?
I'd call him a fraud.
Yeah. Yep. About a con man.
Con man too? And, yeah.
Can you prosecute somebody for that?
Yeah, Bernie Madoff is going to die in prison.
That's a good example.
So should Gableman.
See, now the thing is, all of the paperwork that would have held Gableman accountable, and appreciate your call, Jack, all of the paperwork that would have been like statement of scope and gave us the parameters of how the office should have operated, what its goals were, thing like benchmarks to hold it accountable if it did not hit those items. It was supposed to provide weekly progress reports to the Republican-led Wisconsin State Assembly. It didn't do that. It didn't provide any of those weekly progress reports. So all of the things that would be there that you could say audit this paperwork to be able to hold it accountable doesn't exist. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Republicans of that legislative body allowed that to happen. They green-lighted the fraud that is Michael Gableman because they didn't stop it at any point. Of all, there were so many signs across 14 months that it was not above bar. Like, it was not above board. It should have been ended months ago. And it took Michael Gableman endorsing the political opponent of the assembly speaker in a district that he thought that he could never lose. Robin Voss has designed the state's legislative maps to be his to control for the next decade again. They are a worse gerrymander for the state assembly districts than the 2011 maps, which a Harvard study and multiple other studies around the nation over the last decade said that Wisconsin had some of the most, if not the most, gerrymandered maps in the country. And now our state legislative maps are worse because Robin Voss. And he's never going to be held accountable to voters, except for Republican voters that don't think he's gone far enough, which is what almost happened with Gableman endorsing Voss's primary opponent, to the point where they're contesting the election results from earlier this month in Racine County, where the 63rd Assembly District is held. Adam Steen, his primary opponent, the far right-wing candidate that is trying to unseat Robin Voss, is now running a write-in campaign. He's not gone yet. And Gableman is already landed on his feet. He's got a new job. He's the head of legal counsel for the Thomas More Society or something along those lines. Let's look up the official title. But he is definitely not going anywhere. He is still going to be around. This past weekend, Gableman listed his occupation as senior counsel at the Thomas More Society in a presentation he delivered over the weekend at a conference hosted by MyPillow executive Mike Lindell that focused on election conspiracies. He's an expert in those. He is an expert in election conspiracies because he believes that the election was stolen, that there was widespread voter fraud, even though he can't at all prove that there was widespread fraud. There's no there. He is in himself a conspiracy theorist. That is what Michael Gableman is. That's what his title should be. And he should absolutely have to pay Wisconsin taxpayers back. But that's not going to happen because Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss knows that there's no accountability from the middle when it comes to where he's standing. The only way that Robin Voss gets held accountable politically is if there is such a overwhelming rejection of Republican politics in this state that even the gerrymandered maps that he has could be overcome by that motion. And that would require like a 12-point victory, I want to say, statewide, just for Robin Voss to lose the assembly speakership. That's how he's cooked the books. He's got it where he, no matter what, is going to be the assembly speaker if he can hold the caucus together, which there's are signs that that is cracking, but there's not going to be accountability at the ballot box for Robin Voss, unfortunately. Not with the maps that he's contrived. It's just not going to happen. Unless Wisconsinites start paying attention to these stories, finding out and talking with family, friends, the people you interact with on a daily basis, to say, hey, they greenlighted a throwing away, essentially lighting on fire, more than $1.2 million of taxpayer funds, all under the guise of election fraud. And the entire time, they had 14 months. They could have done whatever they wanted to find. They went through every avenue possible, couldn't find anything because it doesn't exist. And they lit more than $1 million on fire on that wild goose chase. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Let's move on to our next item of the smorgasbord, because I did hit on that one. Adam Steen, Voss's primary opponent, is going to surmount a write-in campaign. He's going to attempt to try to unseat Robin Voss. And so that was one of the items on the smorgasbord. But the next one is something we talked about, a theme that we talked about last week. Republicans complaining about problems, insisting that they're other people's fault, that we should elect more Republicans, re-elect Republicans in some cases, so they can solve the problems that they are complaining about. Or that's what they'd like you to think they would do if you re-elect them. But Republicans are sitting out of legislative session. Again, for the folks that are just tuning in, and you haven't heard, back at the end of February, beginning of March, months ago, the Assembly Republicans and the State Senate Republicans and the Wisconsin legislature closed up shop for the year. They're just over 2 months into the calendar year, and they said no more legislative sessions for the rest of 2022. We're not going to address any of the other problems that the state is facing. We're going to focus on re-election and constituent services. Both of those understandably important, but not going to do any more legislative sessions for 10 months. They're effectively, for all of their jobs, their job titles are legislators.
They locked us out.
That's what they do.
Threw away the key and went to work. Yeah.
Went to work with the air quotes on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's 10 months essentially of a taxpayer paid vacation, though. The Republicans aren't going to be the job that we elect them to do and send them to Madison here to the state capitol to work on legislation. None of that will get passed for the last 10 months of 2022. You will not hear from them for a legislative session until next calendar year. That's what they told us at the end of February, beginning of March. And so in that time, though, since the beginning of March, we're now in towards the end of August. This is the last full week of August. September is next week, folks. Week from this weekend is Labor Day weekend. It's less than 2 weeks from today is Labor Day. And Republicans aren't stopping complaining about the issues that they themselves could adjourn the legislature and address. The state has a $3.8 billion surplus. That's billion with a B. $3.8 billion surplus. They could address effectively any problem the state is facing if they wanted to, if they had the political will to do it. And one of the problems that the state is facing is the Department of Safety and Professional Services. I want to say that I got that name right. Hang on one moment. Yes, the Department of Safety and Professional Services is facing a backlog of licensing cases. So for any Wisconsinite that needs a license to do their job, specifically nurses and a lot of individuals in the healthcare field are a big sector of who needs their licenses to go to work. Because it's important to have licensed professionals in our medical field. And the department has roughly, reading now from a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it's written up by Corey Hess, and it's Wisconsin nurses frustrated by long delays at state license agency. Careers in the high demand industry are put on hold. And Corey does a terrific job going through the individual stories of Wisconsinites that are just looking to continue their careers, that need these licenses to do the important work they are trained to do. It's the final sign off of their professional license, and it needs to get approved by the Department of Safety and Professional Services. And so you'd think that this would be a fairly easy task to be able to get through. We know that there are backlogs for a lot of different reasons. One of the best cases that we could point at, when the state shut down and people closed up shop for the COVID-19 pandemic, we had an increase of unemployment insurance claims. But because the Department of Workforce Development being underfunded and really effectively gutted by Republican administrations in the past, specifically the Scott Walker administration, the technology wasn't updated, and the overwhelming demand for unemployment insurance overwhelmed the system. Since then, the Evers administration has worked to modernize that through outside third-party contracts and working to attract more workers to the Department of Workforce Development to get through the backlog of those UI claims that needed to be addressed. Very similarly, the Department of Safety and Professional Services got the same treatment. Underfunded, not modernized, antiquated. We're told by Republican administrators that you got to cut back on these things. And we got to stop funding all of these programs. And so when you have decades upon decades of not addressing these problems, you have departments that have software from the 1990s and systems from decades ago that are now trying to keep up with the licensing of hundreds, if not thousands, of applicants that are trying to get their, because nurses have to get their license, I believe, by the every 2 years. I believe there's, depending on what license we're talking about, it does vary. I don't believe it's a yearly basis for all of these licenses. But if you move to the state, which we would say the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the other conservative groups are saying, hey, why don't you just run more ad campaigns, try to attract more workers to address the workforce shortage here in the state of Wisconsin. But underfunding these agencies that then further license those workers once they choose to move here, and work here isn't an effective way to keep those people here. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about how the Republican legislature is just not diving in and addressing this problem, because they're on a 10-month paid vacation by the taxpayers. They're not going to do any legislation to address this problem. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to get into your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Falling in love with strangers, wrapping your city like I'm famous. And I did not want my love to be erased, but Lord knows we chased it. Love just rearranged us. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No more Brian for the rest of this half hour, but got you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789, and Evan on the board, as well as our smorgasbord of weekend headlines that we're diving through. And just to kind of put a bookend on this story. So, Department of Safety and Public Services has roughly 250 employees and receives an average of 13,000 license applications a month for more than 240 occupations, ranging from physicians and social workers to barbers and funeral directors. So there's a large swath of positions and professionals that are to be licensed by the state, and we're seeing a backlog from all of those. But it's also important to point out that in his last two biennial budget proposals, the Evers administration requested additional funding to be able to staff the department better, to be able to avoid these backlog of licenses. That's what he proposed twice. And the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature cut those items out of the budget and did not include them in the final provision sent back to the governor for his signature. So the Evers administration has tried to address this problem twice. Wisconsin Republicans have refused to do it, and now we're trying to use it as something to score political points in, because Evers is on the ballot again this November. But if Republicans really wanted to solve this problem, again, $3.8 billion in the budget surplus for the state's general fund, Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu could go in tomorrow. Today. They could go in today and schedule it. Get an extraordinary session on the books. Let's pass this and fund the department properly, and then stop worrying about and stop using the lives of professionals that are waiting for their licenses to be able to do the work that they're trained to do, to get back and address and improve Wisconsin's economy. Because if you're seriously just using this as a political football, what the heck are you doing as an elected official? You're elected to go and solve the problems, not play politics. I get that politics is played on the way to those positions, and you have to play the game of politics to get elected. But these are the problems you should be able to solve. And a 10-month taxpayer-funded vacation, while you just lit $1.2 million on fire for Michael Gableman's charade, but you will not go into a special session, an extraordinary session, to address this problem, is politics at its worst. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian for the rest of this show, but we got our friend Joe in Madison calling in now. Joe, what's on your mind today?
It's enraging, and I hope you return to this story again and again. There is nothing more central than being able to get the credentials that you need in order to do a job, whether it be a funeral director, as you're saying, or somebody who's a physical therapist, whatever. I find it just glowing the way you have put together the fiasco of Gableman, which, by the way, is not done. There are still cases out there that still have to be wrapped up. So there's still some more expenses that are going to be added to the bill of Gableman by the time we're done. And then compare that to the vacationing boss and the vacationing legislature, who went on vacation and never came back. The weekend you know, those weekend films where people go out for a weekend and then never return. That's kind of the legislature that we have. Sleeping on the job, what do you want to call them, Rip Van Winkle? I don't know. Whatever might work. I'm kind of the opinion that you should use the name Gableman now as a verb. To Gableman somebody is to, you know, promise you've got the best thing and never show up. Just never supply. Leave the people with the bill. So you got a plumber that didn't show up, he Gablemaned you. That's the same thing. And we need to do the same with Voss and his vacationing legislature. You know, 10 months for, and all these guys, be careful, everybody. They have full-time jobs. It's considered full-time employment, mm-hmm. $53,000 a year. They get benefits and 10 months off. Oh, we're doing constituent services. Really? That much? Seriously? Most of those people have other jobs, and they can have other jobs because they're, you know, they're out to lunch. Not only out to lunch, out for 10 months. Great job. Nice work if you can get it. And nice work for Gableman and nice work for the Republican legislature. They can't, as you say, bother to gavel in, spend some of that surplus to get things updated so ordinary citizens can live their lives. People are going to notice this. They're going to say it takes forever to get credentialed in Wisconsin. I'm not going there. You know, people have to pay bills. They've just finished an education. They're working, trying to get work done. And if they can't get credentials, they aren't going to stay in Wisconsin. If you're going to try to get a workforce together, boy, is this not the way to do it. And you know that that surplus is just sitting there as a big payoff to their rich donors. And poor people who want to get credentialed, be damned. And I'll just point out again and again that Evers has tried to do something to this, and those layabouts in the Republican legislature are out to lunch. Thanks a lot for the chance to spew. I appreciate it.
No, appreciate it, Joe. And you're always welcome to call in here to Dueling Tangents. We appreciate your call every time. Folks, you can be like Joe, 844-967-2789. Got only a couple minutes left. So, yeah, Joe, you pretty much said it just as well as I could. Like, there's nothing else I can add to a whole lot of that except for the fact that the same people that are complaining about workforce shortages and Evers not doing more and all of the things that they complain, like, I don't understand how they can simultaneously have the audacity to say that Evers isn't doing enough when the record speaks for itself. There is evidence that Evers asked for this in his last two budgets. He requested additional funding for the Department for Staffing. These are antiquated systems that have not been updated for decades. But apparently, it's all on the Evers administration that these departments haven't been properly funded for that period of time. Every single problem is owned by him. But if you ask them, well, What are you doing right now to address it? You're the leader of the state assembly. You're the leader of the state senate. And they're just going to give you crickets. There's no response that's coming out of that because the follow-up is not there. That needs to happen more. These elected officials need to be held accountable for the stances and the statements that they're putting out there. And the fact that Gableman is already landing on his job, you're right, Joe. There are additional expenses that are coming, and an attorney, James Bopp, the conservative attorney that was representing Michael Gableman in his open records lawsuit here in Dane County, is now arguing, and he was barred from representing the Office of the Special Counsel any further here in Dane County for those cases. He is now arguing before a Waukesha County Circuit Court that regardless of if Gableman is there or not, the Office of the Special Counsel's subpoenas still stand, and they want to try to bring in mayors that they had requested still in the case before Waukesha County Circuit Court. And so absolutely is not going away yet. There's still going to be more cost incurred by the state to cover those legal fees of closing that investigation. Oh, I said the I word again. Dang. So close to the end of the show, too. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No more smorgasbord for the rest of the day. I guess we'll have to save these, wrap up the leftovers, and share them with you tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.